From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, March 27th. I'm Jonathan Aull, in for Abby Larico. The Angel Band Project brings music therapy to women who've experienced sexual violence. Participants write and record original songs.
It's difficult for me to hear other people's stories, whether I relate to them or not. It's not easy. So when you can do something sonically, it just hits you in a different therapeutic way.
The story of tomorrow's Angel Band Project benefit show, that's coming up on The Gateway. The Missouri House yesterday passed its version of the state budget for the upcoming fiscal year. Within the $50.3 billion operating budget is a new way of funding higher education. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, that received pushback from both Democrats and Republicans, with many saying it would devastate some schools.
House members voted 83-66 to pass the bill funding higher education. That's only one above the needed number to pass legislation in the House. While the bill doesn't change the total amount allocated to Missouri's colleges and universities compared to last year, it does alter how much each school gets, largely depending on enrollment. Democratic Representative Kim Smith said this model would result in a 19.7% reduction of funding for St. Louis Community College. That's over $9 million.
While we were told that this does not change the total amount, this reduction cooks our schools.
That budget bill now goes to the Missouri Senate, where it faces criticism. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
U.S. Senator Josh Hawley is hoping verdicts against Meta and YouTube prompt Congress to remove lawsuit protections for big technology companies. A jury in California and New Mexico recently found that companies such as Meta and YouTube products were addictive and led to mental distress. Then they ordered those companies to pay millions of dollars worth of damages. Hawley says the case should prompt Congress to scale back what's known as Section 230 protections, which in general shields social media platforms from lawsuits.
It's time to stand up. It is time to declare independence for the big tech companies and actually get to work protecting the American people. And I hope that these verdicts will be watersheds.
Both Meta and YouTube say they plan to appeal the California jury's ruling. Another round of No Kings protests are planned for tomorrow in and around St. Louis. St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich reports.
Thousands of protests are planned nationwide for the third round of No Kings demonstrations, including over a dozen in the metro area, Rolla, and Quincy. Attendees at No Kings events in June and October worried that the Trump administration was veering toward authoritarianism. This time, national organizers are citing heightened ICE presence, cost of living, and the United States and Israel's war with Iran as their motivations. The event also coincides with a Trump-backed redistricting plan for Missouri to protect Republicans from losing control of the U.S. House in this year's midterms. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis ranked last in population growth among the country's 50 largest metro areas last year. Census data released this week shows the metro gained just over 3,000 residents in 2025. This is the second consecutive year of population growth for St. Louis, but the region saw a net loss of more than 6,000 residents in the last 5 years. St. Louis had more deaths than births last year, and more people moved out of the city than in, but immigration more than made up for the difference. The region follows a nationwide trend of slow growth due to immigration constrictions. 9 out of 10 counties in the country saw a decrease in international migration compared to 2024. Steel is once again expected to be made in Granite City starting this weekend. One of the two blast furnaces at Granite City Works plans to be up and running overnight on Saturday. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports this will be the first time in more than 2 years that Metro East Mill has produced any steel.
The second blast furnace was indefinitely idled in fall 2023, but U.S. Steel said late last year it would bring back steelmaking in Granite City. The Pittsburgh-based firm cited increasing demand. The decision has been seen by the United Steelworkers Union as a temporary win and an opportunity to prove themselves to the new Japanese parent company. Craig McKee is the president of the local in Granite City.
This last go-around was kind of like, man, I don't know if we're ever going to get the opportunity again. So, yeah, very excited. Can't wait to see them first orange slabs coming down through the caster.
McKee estimates U.S. Steel spent at least $30 million to restart the second blast furnace, so he doesn't expect to be shut down anytime soon. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
It was opening day yesterday at Busch Stadium, and the Cardinals started their season with different expectations than in many years. The club's focus is more developing on young talent than fighting for a playoff spot. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports from the ballpark.
The Cardinals started the season last year with second-year ace Sonny Gray on the mound. With Gray and other veterans gone following off-season trades, fans will see younger players fighting to form the core of the next great Cardinals team. That suits Mike Pels just fine. He's a lifelong fan who drove from Asheville, North Carolina for his first opening day.
I know that the 25 players out there and the coaching staff are going to give 100%. Every one of those players that are in the Hall of Fame was a young player one time. Let's see what they got to offer.
That's the attitude that team owners hope will boost ticket sales this year after three seasons with declining attendance. From the upper deck concourse along the first base line, I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Cardinals won their opener 9-7 over the Tampa Bay Rays in front of a sellout crowd of more than 45,000. The St. Louis Battlehawks start their season tomorrow with a home game against the defending UFL champion, DC Defenders. It's the fifth year and iteration of the team is trying to be part of a successful spring football league. New head coach Ricky Prohl says he's expecting a big crowd and he wants to deliver.
St. Louis is just such a great city and they deserve to win and I want to win for them. So yeah, that does make me a little anxious, a little nervous because I want it as bad for them as I do for us and our football team.
As of Thursday afternoon, the Battlehawks sold almost 32,000 tickets for the opening game. St. Louis has averaged more than twice as many fans as other UFL teams over the past three seasons. The St. Louis African Film Festival is hosting its 20th annual event starting today. It will showcase 12 films at Washington University's Brown Hall through the weekend. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, the festival will include films by directors from Senegal, Morocco, and Nigeria.
When Ekwa Nsagi began creating films professionally in the early 2000s, she didn't see much African programming. She said most of the films didn't reflect the funny and adventurous East Africans she knew, which pushed her to create what was missing. Nsagi will present a filmmaking masterclass Saturday during the St. Louis African Film Festival. She says the event helps connect audiences to various global experiences.
Oftentimes, even if it's in a different language, in a different setting, I do find people sort of come away with like, oh my God, I totally feel the same way.
Over the weekend, people can view 12 films, including shorts, features, and animations. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
The participants in the Angel Band Project are women who've survived sexual and intimate partner violence. Music therapists work with participants to help them heal and write songs together. Many Angel Band Project participants will perform their work in a benefit concert for the organization tomorrow. It will be at Hegney Theater at Narynx Hall in Webster Groves. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, they're learning the power of raising their voices together.
Many of the songs Angel Band Project participants write are about the process of healing. Songs like Free.
As this hurt, it won't define. I know it will take time.
Free is on one of three compilation albums called Songs of Survival. Women participating with the Angel Band Project write and sing their songs. Professional musicians mostly play the instruments. Unlike in many forms of therapy, participants are not expected to talk about the details of their trauma. It's more hands-on, even ears-on.
We are doing music interventions like therapeutic singing, therapeutic songwriting, drum circles, and rhythm sings, and things like that in order to build community, build safety, build trust.
That's music therapist Tracy Sam Heinrich. She works with the Angel Band Project. One participant asked to be referred to by the pseudonym Janet to protect her privacy when discussing her experience.
It's difficult for me to hear other people's stories, whether I relate to them or not. It's not easy. So when you can do something non-verbally, when you can do something sonically, it just hits you in a different therapeutic way.
The Angel Band Project has been around for 16 years, and it offers year-round programming in St. Louis and New York. At the benefit concert tomorrow, Janet will perform her song, Kaleidoscope.
It's hard to feel like you're a person shattered into pieces. The song is about the pieces being broken, but still finding beauty in the rearrangement and the light, and that you don't have to look whole to be whole.
So I'll keep on turning, spinning to see all the colors inside of me. All of my colors blend perfectly.
Another participant uses the stage name Dawn Lawyer.
We were talking about the song Free and how the last line of every chorus is different.
I know I deserve to be free. I know I deserve to be seen. Take it up. Finally, I will be believed.
It's really important for survivors to be seen and to be believed so that we can be free.
After starting music therapy, Dawn knew where she wanted the focus of her song to be.
The act of the perpetrator is where a lot of the attention is. And I didn't want my song to be about what other people had done to me. I wanted it to be about me.
Through the pain, through the tears, through confusion and through fears, I have learned, I have grown, I have stepped out on my own. I have strength, I have power, I no longer need to cower. Cause piece by piece, I am whole.
Leaders of the Angel Band Project are looking to expand beyond St. Louis and New York. There are pilot programs underway in three other cities around the country. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
I don't need to wait for you to judge me if I'm good enough.
That story was edited by our Brian Moline. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but today we'll go out with more music from the Angel Band Project. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. I'm Jonathan Aull, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.